And glory. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to enter into your words once again, to receive of the abundance of your blessings for our lives. My Lord and my God, I pray that your word will be held to our bodies today in Jesus' name. It will be held to our souls. It will be held to our spirit man in Jesus' name. Father, it's your provision. It's a sumptuous meal. As your people eat, may they be truly fed in Jesus' name. My Lord and my God, by reason of your word today, no one that is here under the sound of my voice will miss out on anything good in this life in Jesus' name. You will elevate them. You will promote them. They will step into life at the right time. They will be in time with your spirit. They will be in oneness with your moves. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke. Chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 verse 27 to 29. We are going to be sharing a story that we know very well. And I believe that God wants to bless somebody here today. By the grace of God, the message should not be too long. And so we'll finish right on time. So please muster as much attention as you can. And enjoy the word of God. 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. That is the passage that I want to share with us this morning. It's the story of how somebody came to Jesus Christ. I don't know what you were doing when Jesus met you. I'm sure that when you look at the story of Levi, just like the story of many other people that Jesus met or that met with Jesus, they had various engagements. Some of them you could be proud of. Some of them you may not be too proud of. But whoever they were, somehow Jesus met with them. Whoever you were, whoever I was, somehow Jesus has met with me. And Jesus, I believe, has met with you. If he has not met with you truly today, he will meet with you, and you will meet with him in Jesus' name. Sometimes, it is possible to have met with Jesus and actually be born again. And there may be an area of your life that needs a revisitation from the Lord. If there is any such area in your life today, you will receive a revisitation in the mighty name of Jesus. Sometimes he needs to revisit our health. Sometimes he needs to revisit our finances. Sometimes he needs to revisit our hearts, our emotions. Our sister gave a testimony earlier on of how she used to live in fear until she met the Lord. And the fear did what? Disappeared. Do you know that there are some people who, after they've been born again, the baggages they used to carry before they met the Lord, they still do carry. Such a life needs a revisitation. So that is why it is possible for you to have met the Lord if there is an area you have not surrendered to him. When he shines his light on that area of your life will change for good. And that will be your story from this morning in Jesus' name. So Levi, who was called Matthew, was busy. He was at the gates, at the receipt of customs. And those people were known to be very, very corrupt. That's why people didn't like them. Somebody said that even though it was a very corrupt profession, what Matthew or Levi knew to do, he was doing it diligently. Hence, the Lord met him at his duty post and decided that this one, if he really knows the truth, he will also be diligent. I'm sure you can think of another example. Saul, who later became Paul, he was very diligent in his persecution of the Christians. First of all, he studied very well. And of course, as long as, based on what he knew, he was very, very diligent in what he was doing. Again, Jesus met with him and said, if this one knows the truth, he will also be diligent in the way of the truth. And he called him. And of course, we know the story of what Jesus did with the life of Paul. Many of us are very diligent in our jobs. Brilliant people, hardworking people. If it is to study for exams, we can go 2 weeks without sleeping. Right? Am I right? Okay. I know some of us can go 2 weeks without sleeping. I remember when I was in high school, we would drink coffee. Some people, we put water in their buckets and put their feet in the bucket so that they will not sleep. That is what we call diligence. How many of us have transferred the same level of diligence to the things of the Lord? It's not a question for you to answer to me, but to answer in your heart. When God called you, He called you with an assumption that you are going to carry over the same level of diligence in doing His work and in making commitment to Him. If we have not followed Him the way we follow our passion for physical things, there's room for improvement. Can you please tell your neighbor, say, there's room for improvement, brother. Sister, there's room for improvement. And the Lord will take you there in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is the word diligent so important? Because only diligence gets rewarded. Am I right? The Bible says He's a rewarder of those that diligently. So that's why it's so crucial. So it's not, I'm not making it up. I'm saying what the Bible says. I want to say to us this morning, if we are going to diligently serve Him, look out for Jesus in the things you do. If you know you are not going to find Him there, stop doing it. What did I say? Look out for Jesus in the things you do. If you know that Jesus will not be there to attend with you, no. Stop doing it. But as soon as He met Levi, He said to Levi, just two words, follow me. Follow me. What a way to evangelize. That is what? Power. He just said, follow me. That is power. How much we need to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And yet, we are ineffective. He just said, follow me. Some people will see it as arrogance. And for us, if we don't make all preparations and psych ourselves up, we will not share the word of God with somebody. We really have to psych ourselves up. Do I go? Do I not go? Do I go? There was no doubt in Jesus' heart. He just said, what? Follow me. Has Jesus stopped saying to people, follow me? Has He? He hasn't. How does He say it? How does Jesus say it to people, follow me? It's written in the Bible, but it is not being screamed all over the place. You are His mouth. You are His voice. You are the extension of His hand that says, follow me. Maybe you don't realize that. You are. He has said it once. Just like everything about creation, the way of salvation, He made once. Somebody said, why is it that God is not creating apples every day? When there's need for somebody to eat apple, He will just say, let there be apple. An apple will appear. Tomorrow, when somebody needs a glass of water, He say, let there be water. Water will appear. What did He do? In his creation, he put the seed of reproduction so that everything will reproduce after its own kind. And so he says it once, and his voice continues to revibrate through his what? His creation. And you are the creation. You are the one he has begotten. He begets once, and what happens? Leaves it to you to keep on reproducing. He said once, follow me. Are you telling people to follow him? Because this can be an area of mistake. A lot of people who are saying follow me, they actually mean themselves and not Jesus. But he wants you to go echo the same thing, to say follow me. When Stephen encountered Jesus, remember, Stephen was made a deacon. In Acts chapter 7, verse 2, after he had encountered Jesus and he faced opposition, and he had to speak on behalf of the God that he served. In Acts 7:2, he said, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father, Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. The point I want us to take from there is this. Everyone that he calls to himself that will be effective in telling others, follow me, must recognize him as the God of glory. If you want to go far with him, you have to recognize him that he is the Lord of glory. We will talk a bit more later about how we will recognize him as the Lord of glory. If our ability to say to people, follow me, is going to be effective, we ourselves must be seen to be obeying the same call. We must be seen that we are following him. In Mark chapter 16, verse 18, that we know very well, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall do what? Shall follow them that believe. Now, I want you to link the two words together here. When he met with Matthew, he did not tell Matthew, believe in me. Did he tell Matthew, believe in me? What did he tell Matthew? Follow me. And Jesus now said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Who are the believers? The believers are the followers. Praise the Lord. The believers are who? Are the followers. Those who hear the word and remain in the position, the same position where they were. They are just hearers. They are what? They are hearers. Those who hear the word and believe the word do what? They follow. That is why Jesus could use the word interchangeably. To one he said, follow me. To another one, he said, believe. In other words, every believer is on a journey. Because they are following what? They are following Jesus. No wonder he said, this sign shall follow. Do you follow someone who has nowhere they are going? The word follow does not arise if you are not on your way to somewhere. So signs will only follow those people who have a destination. People who are on a journey to somewhere. Praise the Lord. Are you on a journey? If you are on a journey with Jesus, then you have every right to expect that signs will follow you. And signs will follow you in the mighty name of Jesus. Followers are people who are obedient. They can be used interchangeably. Because when he says, follow me, and you follow, what are you doing? You are obeying. Many people, or many non-Christians, and a lot of professing Christians will tell you that the days of miracles are over. Do you know why? Because when they look at their back, there is nothing following them. And that is because they have nowhere they are going. If you keep company with such people, nothing will follow you. But when you follow the one that has a destination, when you look at your back, there will be trails of miracles that will follow you. Because signs and wonders only follow those who are following Jesus. In verse 28 of the book of Luke, chapter 5, that we read, the Bible said, as soon as Jesus spoke to Levi, what did he do? What did he do? The Bible said, he left all, rose up. I like the description. That's why I like the book of Luke. Have you noticed that of the Gospels, it seems to have more elongated description of some of the, of the stories? He said, and he did what? He left all, rose up. So he didn't just take his hands away from them. No, he took his hands away from collecting those receipts. He got up and followed him. Do you know that Jesus is also still very interested in knowing what you are ready to leave and follow him? Listen to this very well. Listen to the next statement very well. Do you know that many Christians today, listen to this, many Christians today wait until all have left them. Or all threaten to leave them before they follow him? Do you understand what I'm saying? That many of us today will wait until all have left us. When our health is leaving us, when our finances is leaving us, when our home is leaving us, when our joy is leaving us, that is when we run to him to cry and say, Lord, I want to follow you. Look, it's a good way to come to Christ, so long as we realize the purpose of our coming to him. Because the danger in it is this: for a lot of people who run to Christ because things are leaving them, what happens is this: they see it as a way of getting back all the things that have left them. And so what happens? When the things they are chasing after comes back to them, what do? They stop following. But for the people who originally set out to follow and leave things behind, when the blessings come, they see it as a reason to glorify God rather than stop following him. That is why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. In other words, leave all and follow. He said, what happens? And all these things. He said, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, what will happen? You'll find it, praise the Lord. First you leave and you follow. And when the promotions come, when the blessings come, when the prosperity comes, when the fame comes, when the power comes, when the authority comes, you will keep following. Because that was the original purpose. But when you run to him because things are leaving you or people are leaving you, a lot of people will run to Jesus because friends have deserted them. And you know what? The day people start to become friendly and they welcome them back to their fold again, and they say, why are you not here? You see, my friend said he wanted us to have time together yesterday, so I stayed up late, so I couldn't, you know. That's what happens. He said, come, follow me. How many people will follow him? I said, how many of us will follow him? You will follow him to the end in Jesus' name. And Levi, I want us to read the next verse, verse 29. The Bible said, I've told us it's a short message. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. I like that. And Levi did what? Made him a great feast in his own house. The great feast that you can make for him, the great feast that you can make for the Lord, is in your heart. And he made a great feast where? In his own house. We sang a song, we said, be glorified. I know we sang it, the third part, we say, be glorified in the temple. That is not the way I sing my own. The way I sing my own is this, be glorified in this temple. Because the Bible says your body is what? Is the temple of the Lord. I say, be glorified in this temple. The people who will glorify God are the people who will make great feasts for him in their heart. They reserve a place of choice for the Lord Jesus. And how much of a space you reserve for him depends on how much you esteem him. Stephen said, the God of what? Of glory. He is what? The God of glory. In other words, he is a big God. He needs a big space. He needs a big service. You know, when I talk about big service, big space, it's not in the quantity per se. Remember the widow's mite. Is this how much sacrifice that is involved? How much expression of love that is involved in it, in our service? That is what determines how great or how small our feast with him is to him. If you think he's a God of glory, and if you think he is a great God, we need to start to serve him greatly. In other words, we need to start to magnify him in our hearts. When we magnify him in our hearts, it will not be difficult to spend time in his presence. It will not be difficult to spend our time to glorify him. When they say, let us go to the house of the Lord, it becomes our delight. When they say, let us meet for prayer and worship God, it becomes what? Our delight. He has the, because he, you have a big feast for the Lord. Levi made a great feast, because he knew he was serving a great God. He knew he was having the encounter of his life. Many of us, you remember when you first met the Lord, when the word of God is coming out like this, you are all attentive. Right? In fact, nothing else occupies this any space in your heart. And when they say, let us pray, or they say, pray for this, you jump up, you shout, you cry to the Lord, and miracles just starts to follow you. Do you know why? It's because you have a big feast for the Lord in your heart. You can reenact that. He can revisit you. And that story can be repeated. Every miracle that God has done before, he can do it again. Remember, he fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. In fact, he can feed the 1,000,000. And that is what the word of God will be in your life in Jesus' name. When you know you serve a great God, you will magnify him with your energy. In fact, you will magnify him in your offering. I'm telling you, each time I give an offering that is less than a certain amount, I'm not going to announce it. But each time I give an offering that is less than a certain amount, I'm usually not delighted with myself. I'm not buying God. Please, far from it. It's just a token of my appreciation for who God is to me. What about testimony? What about praise? We need to be generous in our testimony concerning Him. We need to be generous in our praise of Him. If we know we serve a great God, we will shower Him with all our love. We invited someone here not long ago who spoke to us about loving the Lord. And if you go and read 1 John very well, you will actually know that your loving God is equated to your loving your brother. Because when you really love God passionately, you will have no option but to love your brother. In fact, it will be a natural thing that will just flow from you. Again, this is because He is the God of glory. And I said to us, and I like the passage, the first passage you read for the offering. He actually said, bring what? How did he qualify what you are supposed to bring? No. He used the word, your best. The best part. He says, bring the best part. And in closing, we have 5 minutes. Let me quickly talk about glory. Since we serve a glorious God. Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 60. Chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Praise the Lord. Now let's quickly look at glory here. A few things I want us to take note here. When you look at verse 2, the Bible says that gross darkness will cover the earth. But what did God say will happen to you? He said the glory of the Lord shall arise upon you. And what is going to happen? And His glory shall be what? Shall be seen upon you. In a place of darkness, what is the thing that you can see? Light is the only thing you can see. In other words, the glory of the Lord is light. When everybody is covered by darkness, when everybody is covered by failure, when everybody is covered by depression, the glory of the Lord will rise upon you and the light of God will start to shine and your life is going to be different. Your situation is going to be different from the situation of the people who ran about you. Because the glory of the Lord rose upon the children of Israel,
That is why everywhere they went to, they were different from their neighbor. And we read this morning what happened to them. That when they came, the king of the Amorite, that the heart of the king of the Amorite melted within him when he heard what God has done in the life of the children of Israel, how he parted River Jordan and they walked on a dry ground. You will walk on a dry ground in the mighty name of Jesus. When God has done something in your life, that people will see and they know that the glory of the Lord is with you, you know, it will make you different. He said, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, because that glory is light. And what is the something about the glory again is this, because it is light, it cannot be what? Be hidden. Praise the Lord. He said, who will light a candle and put it? You will not. Where will it be? Right on the top. So that it can provide light to men. So that you will provide leadership to people around you. So that you will lead wherever you are. The glory of the Lord will come upon your life. That is why he said, you come, follow me. Knowing that and expecting that with the same diligence that you do your work, you will follow him so that your light can shine. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The other thing about glory, because it's light, is that it dominates. Praise the Lord. Ah, yes. Let there be, I don't know the units with which you measure darkness. But there's unit for measuring light. Praise the Lord. Let this room be as dark as anything. I'm bringing a small light into the room. What happens? It dominates darkness. And do you know the other thing about light is that, in fact, the darker the darkness is, the more powerful the light is in the midst of darkness. That is why. Because the Spirit of the Lord will be with you. The more the opposition, the more the victorious you are going to be in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, arise and shine. We told us one of the reasons we are afraid is because we don't have knowledge of the kind of God we serve. The day you come to the knowledge of who you serve and who you are in him, the next thing that is good, that I'm going to say will occur in your life. We have talked about how the glory of God is light and all that it does. But there's one big condition. What is the big condition? What is the big condition? The big condition is that you must arise. Praise the Lord. You must do what? You must arise. And he said concerning Matthew or Levi. And after he called him, he said, follow me. What did Matthew do? He said he followed. And he did what? He rose up. You must arise. And did what? And he left everything. Your past ways of life is not the place of glory. If it is the place of glory, you will not come to Jesus. The place of glory is the newness of life in Jesus Christ. You must arise. Tell your neighbor, you must arise. Arise this morning, because the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You must arise to take your rightful place. To walk into his glory. You must arise to tell you to do what he tells you to do. To do exactly what he tells you to do. You must arise in obedience. You must arise. Because in obedience, in following him, in believing him, is where your glory is. In closing, Can we open to Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6? Maybe let's start from verse 4. Let's start from verse 4. This is my word that you need to take home. What did he say? He said, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." In other words, Father, in areas where we have failed, change our story. What we have lost, we want to regain. Where we have lacked joy, we want our joy restored. And he now goes on to say, this is the secret to restoration. This is the secret to what? To shining. This is the secret to prosperity. This is the secret to God delighting in us. Verse 5 and 6, let's look at it. He said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." In other words, they that sow in inconvenience. You don't cry when something is convenient for you. You cry only when something is painful. Only when you have to make a decision, do I eat this or do I give it to the Lord? This is my last meal. Do I take it for myself or do I give it to the Lord? That's when you cry. But Lord, oh, take it. One part of you is saying, take. One is saying, don't give. One is saying, give. You say, Lord, take it. Oh, but Lord, oh, take it. And finally you surrender. That was what Jesus did that took him to glory. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what was it? He said, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass. But not my will, but thy will be done." In other words, this is painful. Do I have to go through this? Really? Father, if you are my father, are you serious? Do you really think I have to go through this? But then, well, if you say I have to go through, then I'm going through. Praise the Lord. That is sowing in what? In tears. And verse 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth." It's not ordinary weeping, no. And he now says, "Bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The sheaves is your harvest. Arise. Arise. Will it be convenient? Not always. Will it be painful? Yes. Will it be difficult times? Yes. Because if it's not difficult, you won't cry. He said, "He that sows in tears, that is the way of the Lord. And as you sow in tears, the Lord will reward you in the mighty name of Jesus. He will take you to a place of shining in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that has covered your light, everything that has covered your destiny, today they are removed in Jesus' name. You are going to shine. You are going to shine above your fellows in the mighty name of Jesus. Just rise and give a clap offering to the Lord. Oh yes, let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Let's just thank him. Let's thank him. Begin to thank him, for he's a good God, for he's a mighty God. Why don't you give him all the glory? Give him all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. We have a sure destiny in Jesus. A sure destiny in Jesus, a destiny of victory and breakthrough, a destiny of success and prosperity, a destiny of strength and victory. In the mighty name of Jesus, begin to thank him. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. For you are a good God. There is none like you in our life. We worship you. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I lift up every child of God in this assembly. Maybe before I pray, if you know you are no longer walking with the Lord, you have gone back, Please, all eyes closed and every head bow, please. All eyes closed, every head bow down. If you know for one reason or the other you have missed it, you've been born again, but you are no longer walking that way anymore, can you just lift up your hand to the Lord? So I will pray with you, because I'm going to pray for the church right now. You can only arise and shine if Jesus is in your life. Please, if you are that way, can you just lift up your hand to the Lord so I can pray with you? Okay. Father, we thank you for your word today. My Lord and my God, even as you have given me to share with your people your word, that they have a sure destiny in you. And that destiny is that they are going to be light because your glory has risen upon them, and that they are going to shine. Everyone under the sound of my voice today, you will begin to shine in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that has covered the glory of God upon your life before now, I remove them in Jesus' name. I dislodge them in the mighty name of Jesus. They will not go out with you anymore in Jesus' name. You will be above your fellows in the mighty name of Jesus. Nobody covers the glory of the Son. Your glory will not be covered in Jesus' name. The covenant of the rising of the sun that makes it to rise every day will be fulfilled in your life. Therefore, you will rise. I say you will rise in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit